Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in on the late night tip. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by OnCodeClothing.com. 2020, that's the decade for black empowerment, so you need to step into the new decade looking fresh, looking fly with OnCodeClothing. You got to get OnCodeClothing.com and check out their BCU collection. It's a collection of collegiate apparel honoring the best of our educators, entrepreneurs, and freedom fighters. So get that at OnCodeClothing.com, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to my UK people. I see some UK people in the chat room. Everybody, y'all hit that thumbs up button, ladies and gentlemen. Let everybody know that we're doing our thing. What we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Y'all don't move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
After a failed attempt at robbing a bank, two convicts are on the run for their lives.
Look, nephew, I'm a level with you. Look, we're in some serious trouble.
This might sound crazy, but they were zombies.
But as soon as they feel they've bought themselves some time, they learn that time is actually running. Catho Productions presents Quasi Fictional. Available now on Vimeo On Demand and coming soon to other streaming platforms.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us. Follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT, Twitter at the H-Report2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I ain't gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. How y'all doing? How y'all doing? We are back. We are in here. Glad y'all are tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing the late night show. Y'all probably thought I wasn't going to do it tonight, but I'm doing it tonight on Wednesday because it's going to be a very busy week. We're going to be in the studio tomorrow night. We're getting that Mink Slide album popping, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to be very busy this week doing that and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I just wanted to chop up game with y'all. So much stuff going on, man. A whole bunch of stuff going on. So I wanted to just get down and chime in. And everybody, don't forget, hit that thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we are still having the Black History Month Hidden Colors DVD package bundle sale for this month only. We only have a few more weeks left, but the sale has taken off. We're getting those orders out so fast. If you go to hiddencolorsfilm.com, ladies and gentlemen, for this month only, you're going to get Hidden Colors 1, Hidden Colors 2, Hidden Colors 3, Hidden Colors 4, Hidden Colors 5, and the 1804 Hidden History of Haiti DVD. You're going to get all five, actually all six DVDs for just $49.99, ladies and gentlemen. That's an appreciation deal. You cannot beat that. Two of the DVDs are worth $50 together. So basically, family, you're getting a bunch of free DVDs, and you basically are just paying for the shipping for this month. This is how important it is for the family to get that knowledge. We're making it accessible to everybody for Black History Month. We're doing this for the Black Melanated Foundational and the global family. Everybody can get it. Now, we don't send this package in particular overseas because of the shipping, because it's basically, we're giving it away. Shipping it is just going to cost way more than the actual package. So unfortunately, with this deal, we won't be able to send it overseas. But if you're in the continental U.S., go to hiddencolorsfilm.com and get those DVDs, ladies and gentlemen. Also, don't forget to get your tickets for the Foundation of Black American Conference that's happening this June. You can get that at FBAC2020.com. FBAC2020.com. Get your tickets, get your vendor package, all that good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's get down to the nitty gritty. A lot of stuff going on. As you guys have probably heard, suspected white supremacist radio host Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh has been a so-called conservative, because he's not really conservative. They hide white supremacy behind conservatism. Black people, I want us to learn how to take control of the narrative, take control of the words. Black people, stop being afraid to call things what they are. The first step to freedom is being able to name things, label things, and stick by the labels and the names that you put out there. This is what the white supremacists do all the time. The minute they encounter you, they're trying to name you. They use terms like liberal and this and that. So they're always trying to name things. See, when you're able to name things, that shows power. This is why they hate when we put our own labels on them, which is really their labels, because the white supremacists were the ones who were claiming white supremacy. That's their word. So we're giving them their label back, because now the term has been sullied. White supremacy, it has such a negative connotation now. They try to run away from it. And no, we're going to put that right back on you, because you created it. You created a system based on it. So now you're going to eat that term. You're going to keep wearing it. See, they try to hide the white supremacy now under conservatism, liberalism, LGBT. They hide it under all these different titles. They're just regular white supremacists. Just say what it is. Don't get offended. Don't be afraid when they start pushing back. That's the problem. When the white supremacists start pushing back, Black people get scared. Hey, why are you calling me a white supremacist? Well, because, sir, I suspect that you are. Well, I'm not, and you're a race baiter, and you're a bigot. Well, sir, I still suspect you're being a white supremacist, so that's what it is. And you don't back down off that. But Rush Limbaugh is basically a suspected white supremacist who pretends to be a conservative. He's one of the forefathers of the modern wave of anti-black racism. He helped a lot of the white supremacists get their little codified terms and words and language together. He was one of the forerunners in that. So now Rush Limbaugh has stage 4 cancer, from what I understand. I think it's stage 4, but he announced that he has cancer. A lot of the white supremacists were mad at me because I posted up a meme of some black folks dancing. They were like, how dare you celebrate Rush Limbaugh getting cancer? This man could die. I mean, how could you be so heartless? This person, you got to have some sympathy. I'm going to have the same sympathy that Rush Limbaugh had for Trayvon Martin, for Eric Garner. If you don't remember, Rush Limbaugh repeatedly mocked and justified the killing of the child, Trayvon Martin. He mocked that child. He mocked Eric Garner, saying that he can breathe because he follows the law. This is what Rush Limbaugh said too. He said this about Eric Garner, saying that he couldn't breathe. So they mocked. This man, Rush, mocked the death of black people. He justified the death of black people over and over again. And when you give them their same energy, they want to cry foul. They want to start saying, well, we can't fight fire with fire. I don't want to hear that, white supremacist suspects. I don't want to hear none of you people criticize us for not giving a damn about Rush Limbaugh. Let me make it real plain. Black people, you're not obligated to give a damn about Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh doesn't give a damn about you or any other black person. You have every human right to not give a damn. You do not have to take the moral high road for a people that's trying to wage warfare against you and your children. What's happening to Rush is karma. And he brought it on himself. The man would smoke cigars and do all types of Oxycontin, and he would tear his own body up. He brought it on himself. I don't give a damn about no Rush. And I'm not arguing with the karma of God. Do you understand? This man rained terror on black society, on the airwaves, getting all of these white supremacists codified against us. We don't owe him one drop of damn sympathy. Don't let these white supremacists try to run this. Well, two wrongs don't make a right, because y'all never say anything about the first wrong coming from the white supremacists. You never say anything about them. See, we're going to have to start checking all of these people who want to pop out of their little cubby holes when we stop giving a damn about what happens to them and they're trying to fish for sympathy. You're going to have to hold your own nuts. I posted up a meme, and this goes for so-called conservatives and liberals too. I posted up a meme that was very vague of some store that had an LGBT sandwich. And I posted up this very vague meme, and I didn't even really put any commentary to it. And then there's a lot of white LGB people jumping in my mentions, trying to whine and cry about it and project their own bigotry onto the meme. And I want to say, all of these white LGBT people trying to project their own bigotry onto black people, why were you guys so silent about Ed Buck? When it's time to jump on a black person and criticize a black person, the white LGBT, y'all jump out of the woodworks. But when it comes to dead black people coming out of Ed Buck's house, we couldn't find a peep from none of you. Y'all didn't say nothing. It just took multiple black men coming out that man's house before he even got arrested. So that hypocrisy that comes from these different communities, these are they're never our allies. We don't owe them anything. We got to stop being afraid to check them and call them out and stand on it. This is why, black people, we have to learn how to be self-sufficient. We have to learn how to become self-sufficient. A lot of black people are afraid to say things against the white supremacists because we think, well, maybe we have to go to that same white supremacist to go get a job. See, this is why they don't want us to have any finances. When you're broke, they can treat you like a hoe. Pimps like to keep hoes broke. They got that pimp mentality. You understand? So this is why it's important for us to have an economic base. This is why it's important for us to demand an economic base and stop caping for everybody else. It's very important. And speaking of caping, this brings us to Fail King. Stale Gail King. Now, I've been talking about Fail and Okra for a long time. We've been warning people about Fail and Okra, talking about their mammyism, talking about their white daddy protection agency. They've been protecting white zaddy for the longest. And now people are really starting to see how blatant they are with it, because now that not only we are calling them out, other celebrities like 50 Cent and other black people, Lil Duval, the comedian, he called Gail out today. Everybody was calling Gail out today for an interview she did with Lisa Leslie, the WNBA player. I don't know if she's a former WNBA player. But now that Gail and Oprah, they've been called out for zaddy worshiping, for protecting zaddy, and basically throwing black men under the bus to act as a smokescreen and a deflection away from these white zaddies out here that they're protecting. It's just very clear right now. They're not even trying to hide it right now. They're protecting white daddy. Everybody's calling them out. Monique wrote an open letter about Oprah. I didn't read the letter. I didn't get a chance to do it. But just so many people are calling them out now. Prominent people are calling them out now. You understand? Somebody said Barry Bonds called Stale Gail out. Everybody's calling because it's so blatant what they're doing. And this is why they're getting bold now. They're like, well, fuck it. The jig is up. So we might as well just go all out and cape for zaddy. Now, we know Gail and Oprah, you know, they parade, you know, black men around and say, okay, this is the face of predatory behavior. You know, they were part of the Michael Jackson documentary, the whole R. Kelly thing, where Gail interviewed R. Kelly and she was pressing him. And, you know, they've become the zaddy whisperers. You know, they're doing a Oprah. She got punked out of being a part of that documentary about Russell Simmons. And I heard HBO picked that up. And this is the irony about that. HBO is going to run this slander documentary about Russell Simmons, and Russell Simmons kept the lights on at HBO. Russell Simmons in the early 90s, he was the one who made HBO hot. Same thing with Cosby. Remember, Bill Cosby saved NBC, and the people at NBC, they all turned on Cosby. It was the Cosby Show that saved NBC. It was Russell Simmons that made HBO hot in the 90s. Def Comedy Jam was the wave. The Def Comedy Jam was the wave that really put HBO on the map on the streets. That gave them that street cred, so that made HBO a force to be reckoned with. And this is how the white supremacists do. They don't have no loyalty to us. We put them on and we give them props and we think we're going to be in there with them. They can't wait to get their weight up and flip on us. We got to understand that's how the white supremacists work. And my man 50 better be careful too. But 50 kind of understands the game, because 50, he'll clown some of the execs if they don't do what he wants. So I think 50 already knows what the deal is, because 50, just like 50 has made Stars what it is, Stars owes everything to 50 Cent. You understand? So we make these networks hot. Remember, it was the Wayans brothers who made Fox hot. When Fox, the network, first started popping, it was the show in Living Color that put that on the map. Once they got their weight up, bam, you got Fox News and all this anti-black hatred on there. We've always made these networks hot. We made the UPN network hot. We made the WB network hot. You understand? Yeah, Martin and shows like that, that made Fox hot. See, this is why it's important for us to own some stuff and put our mark on it. That's why with the Hidden Colors brand, I really put my mark on it, and I take pride in owning that brand and not giving that brand away so it can't be tarnished by other people. Because if I sold Hidden Colors, if I sold that brand to somebody else, man, please, the Hidden Colors 10 would be about Justin Timberlake and Lady Gaga. I mean, they would rape it. You understand? Hell, shit, somebody said something about MTV. Look, when I did MTV, the shows that I was on, when I was doing those made episodes, those were some of the highest ratings on that series. That's why they kept rerunning it. When I was on Made, the episodes that I was on, they kept telling me, the network was telling me that it was the highest rated episode of that series. They even gave me a special, a spring break special on MTV back in 2005, 2006, because the ratings were so high. When I was teaching the white kid how to be a player, people loved that shit. They loved it. They loved the concept of a cool black dude teaching a nerdy white guy something. That's what the movie Hitch was about. And everybody knows the infamous story behind that shit. The movie execs were trying to get the rights to my book, and we were having some problems getting it popping because of the publisher that I was with. And in Hollywood, they're like, fuck it, nigga. We white. We'll take an idea and just run with it and do the shit anyway and just change the name. We don't really, you know, we white now. If you drag your ass a little bit, we'll just do the shit and change the names. And that's exactly what they did. You go look at Hitch and go look at some of my early stuff. And I mean, they were blatant. When I would go to meetings with these execs at some of these networks and give them an idea, and the next thing you know, that idea is on TV. I'm like, oh shit. They would do that a lot. You understand? But I digress as far as that. But we're talking about Fail King. We're talking about Stale King. Yes, somebody in the chat room said they did that to Rick Ross. Exactly. The show Snowfall, about the 80s crack game, that whole show is about Rick Ross, and they don't give him nothing. The show Snowfall is about Rick Ross, and they don't give him nothing. They will take your idea and run with the shit. Dude, they will blatantly do it. They'll blatantly do it. The minute you give it, because they're always looking for ideas when something is hot, especially when black people are doing it, when black people do something and it's hot and you ain't a coon, because they'll get you involved if you're a coon. They'll find a way to really get you in. But if they see you're not a coon, they're like, oh, this nigga ain't a coon. We need to just steal his shit and just change some names and some words and just change some things around. You dig? So we're talking about Okra and Gayle. Now, Gayle did an interview with Lisa Leslie. And as we know, Gayle is still caping for Zaddy. She's caping for Harvey Weinstein. So they were talking about, and this was real weird, they were talking about Kobe. So Gayle start talking about Kobe to Lisa Leslie, and then Gayle start talking about the damn bullshit rape allegations. Now, let me actually play the clip of this because y'all got to hear this. This is Fail King. Hold on one second. Let me get it together. Now listen to her. Hold on one second. Here we go.
Because of a sexual assault charge.
Hold on. Let me take it back.
Sexual assault charge, which was dismissed in 2003, 2004. Is it complicated for you as a woman, as a WNBA player?
It's not complicated for me at all. Even if there's a few times that we've been at a club at the same time. Kobe's not the kind of guy. Never been like, you know, Lisa, go get that girl or tell her or send her this. Mm-hmm. I have other NBA friends that are like that. Mm-hmm. Kobe's, he was never like that. I just never have ever seen him be.
And let me say this. Shout out to Lisa Leslie for staying on code. Lisa was so graceful with the way she handled that bullshit that Gail did. This is why so many people were mad at Gail today. She was trending. So many people were very proud of Lisa and pissed off at Gail. And Lisa handled this thing so codified.
The kind of person that would be do something to violate a woman or be aggressive in that way. That's just not the person that I know.
But Lisa, you wouldn't see it, though. As his friend, you wouldn't see it.
And that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying things didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that things didn't happen with force.
Is it even a fair question to talk about it, considering he's no longer with us and that it was resolved? Or is it really part of his history?
I think that the media should be more respectful. At this time, it's like if you had questions about it, you've had many years to ask him that. I don't think it's something that we should keep hanging over his legacy. I mean, it went to trial.
Yeah, but the case was dismissed because the victim in the case refused to testify. So it was dismissed.
You see how this crooked wig, mammy, well, it was dismissed because the victim, she was very clear about using the word victim, this plantation mammy, she thought she was slick. This is why people were clowning her. Caitlin Faber, the false accuser, is not a victim. This woman, and I broke this down, and Gail and Oprah, they know, but again, they're caping for Zaddy. Caitlin Faber, she didn't testify because her ass got caught in so many damn lies. They were going to lose the case. She kept lying over and over. She lied to her own lawyers. She kept lying about what happened. All of her friends were going to testify against her dumb ass because she was out here bragging about having sex with Kobe at a party full of people. She was also bragging about finessing the money and what she was going to buy with the money. She was talking about buying breast implants, how she was going to buy a koala bear. I'm not making that up. This nincompoop was out here talking about the finesse. Her friends were all going to turn on her stupid ass. The woman had sex with another dude hours after Kobe, and he had semen in her drawers. She had drawers full of semen from different damn dudes. She was going to lose that case. She was not a victim. The prosecutors dropped the case because they were like, oh, shit, this girl finessed us. We shouldn't even brought charges on this. That's why it was dropped. She wasn't a victim. Stop it. Stop it. Hold on.
The case refused to testify. So it was.
It went to trial.
Yeah, but the case was dismissed because the victim in the case refused to testify. So it was dismissed.
And I think that's how we should.
Okay. Lord, Lord, Lord. See that mammy, Gail and Oprah, they're just showing their true colors now. They're showing their true colors. And let's be real. If we're going to be honest, Gail and Oprah, they've always been on some mammy shit. They've always been mammies. They've always been zaddy protectors. Shout out to Lisa. She was so classy, so codified. That's how a sister is supposed to be. Not like these two little funky mammies, Okra and Stale Gale. Now, let me show you this because I played another clip. I posted this on my social media. Now, this is Gale talking about other predators. she's talking with Dr. Phil. She mentions Al Franken. Now, remember, Al Franken, he was a comic, and he was the senator somewhere, I think in Minnesota somewhere. And remember, he got called out for sexual harassment because there's actually a picture of him grabbing a woman's titties. Okay? So with okra and stale, you don't need no evidence with no black dude. Whoever's accusing them, oh, they're a victim. You don't need no evidence. But with Al Franken, you see a picture of him grabbing a woman's titties. Now, this is Fail talking about that. Listen.
To some degree about Al Franken. I can't even say I know him either. But I just thought he did something that was stupid, immature, and
Hold on.
I look to some degree about Al Franken. I can't even say I know him either. But I just thought he did something that was stupid, immature, and sophomoric. That picture, it looks like he's grabbing a woman's breast. But he wasn't touching them. It was just a stupid thing.
Do you hear this, mammy? Do y'all hear this, mammy? But when it comes to Zaddy, well, it was stupid. He looked like he was touching her breast. Look at this mammy. Listen to her with Kobe. Well, the victim. Yeah, the victim. I mean, there was a trial and, you know, nothing. You know, he went to the court. The system said no. Well, the victim just didn't want to testify. Yeah, the nigga did it, but just the victim just didn't want to testify. But white daddy has a picture of him grabbing titties. Well, it looked like he was grabbing titties, but it was just goofy prank. Wonk, wonk. Yet Zaddy wouldn't do that. Listen to this mammy. Listen to her.
I can't even say I know him either, but I just thought he did something that was stupid, immature, and sophomoric. That picture, it looks like he's grabbing a woman's breast. But he wasn't touching them. It was just a stupid thing to do. It was back, they were all comedians. They were traveling around. It was someone that he knew. And next thing you know, he loses his Senate career. I actually thought that was, is there no way to have a discussion here?
This is mammyism, as you can see, family. This is just mammyism. Oprah and Gail, billion-dollar mammies. High-paid mammies. When it comes to white daddy, oh, Lord, he was just playing. Oh, God, white daddy was just joking. White daddy looked like he was doing something. But when it's a black dude, Robert? Robert, did you touch those girls, Robert? R. Kelly acting a fool in my life, Robert. Robert, did you touch those? You know. Come on. This mammy. White daddy do it. Well, it was just sophomoric. It was just, they were just joking. Wonk, wonk. All of this is to really get the heat off Zaddies. It's to get the heat off all the Zaddies. Especially Harvey Weinstein. I mean, they're caping hard. All of this is a deflection. And there's so many pictures of Oprah and Gail with Harvey Weinstein. Just booed up. There's so many pictures. The way they're buck dancing and mammying, I almost want to believe that Harvey Weinstein and some of these other powerful white people, they got some stuff on Oprah and Gail. And let me go down another rabbit hole. I wouldn't be surprised. Don't it look like Harvey Weinstein banged Oprah and Gail the way he's all booed up with him and they all kissing on him and snuggled up with him? I mean, there's just dozens of pictures of them all booed up. I mean, have they been somewhere and had a threesome somewhere? The way they acting and the way they're putting their reputations on the line to save this man. All of this stuff they're doing is to save this dude. They're all licking his face, booed up. I mean, are there pictures somewhere with Oprah's big ass with a strap on? With Gail tooted over? You know they've been saying rumors about her and Gail for years, but is Harvey Weinstein in there in the mix too? Licking Oprah's crooked feet, I'm like, what's going on? Does he have him running around wearing the color purple outfits? I mean, because Harvey Weinstein, he was into some freaky shit. So no telling what he had Oprah and Gail doing. But for them to be caping for this man the way they caping for him, they got something on these two mammies. I mean, are there pictures of Oprah putting one of her flip-flops in Stedman's bussy? I mean, something's going on here. Something is going on. There's something out there that they're blackmailing these bedwinches with. There's something going on. They're trying to compare Oprah and Gail to Diamond and Silk. Diamond and Silk, unfortunately, they're less coonish. I mean, if we want to keep it a buck, Diamond and Silk are less coonish than these two mammies. My God. This is insane. But the thing is, you know, people got all this smoke for Kobe. And I want to keep seeing the smoke now that Kirk Douglas died. The actor Kirk Douglas, who's been around for literally 100 years. This dude was 100 and something years old. He was an old white man. Legendary actor Kirk Douglas died. That's Michael Douglas's father. Kirk Douglas died, and he died today. And we brought up the fact that this dude had a rape allegation. They said he raped actress Natalie Woods when she was 16. That was a rumor around Hollywood for a long time, that Kirk Douglas raped actress Natalie Woods back in the 1950s when she was 16. So I want to see them have that same energy that they have for Kobe. I want to see them with that same energy that they have for our brother. Because it's getting real out here. These white supremacists, they're getting codified, family. They're getting on code. And the name of the game is to find ways to deflect away from their discretions and find a way to attack us. They're trying to attack us by any means they can. And they're trying the whole minority coalition. They're trying the urban camaraderie game. We got to stop falling for all of that. We got to stop falling for the white people with the black sense. I saw a video today. I'm going to play a clip of that. There was a white girl with a black scent. She was rapping about how she can say nigga. See, we got to start checking these folks. I like the fact there was a rap battle and there was a white boy in the rap battle who said nigga and they popped him in his damn mouth, and I love it. Love it, love it, love it. I loved it. They popped his ass dead in the mouth, as they should. Checked him real fast. If y'all sit up and let these white boys sit around here yelling nigga at rap battles, they'll colonize that whole neighborhood in the next few months. That's how they test you. That's how they test you. Come around, just like with Tekashi. Y'all niggas should have learned with Tekashi running around yelling nigga, 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 and y'all kicking it with his dumb ass, and then all of your dumb asses got snitched on. You dig? Rolling around with some damn Tekashi. Y'all gonna learn the hard way. But I saw this clip of this white girl here. Hold on, let me find it. Okay, now listen to this. This goofy white girl, and she looks lily white. Hold on one second. Talking about how she can say nigga and she's rapping and all this shit. Hold on.
Psych. Real ass bitch, give a fuck about the industry. I'ma say nigga cause I know what I fucking mean. I don't give a fuck about your race or your ethnicity. If you got a dick, then that's just what you gonna be. Real ass bitch, man, I grew up in the hood and I been saying nigga, bitches been up in my book, and I don't give a fuck what you bitches gotta say, cause I'ma say nigga every single fucking day, bitch. Act up, you can get snatched up. Bitches trying to say I'm acting black, bitch, shut up. act up. You can get snatched up. All you bitches mad cause you think I'm just gassed up. I don't really give a fuck about your race, and I don't care if you white or black, it's the same thing, man. God made us all, man, we all on this earth. So stop saying niggas a racist ass word, cause it ain't. If I ain't saying ER, then it's not the same. I don't give a fuck, man, you bitches just lame. I'ma say what I want, it's my thing. I don't give a fuck, y'all can suck up on my...
Okay. Let me talk to black men. Let me talk to black men. She shows her face. She, you can go to my Twitter and see this. Somebody said Megan the Mayonnaise. Yeah, Negroes, goofy ass niggas, y'all bring that filth around the neighborhood. And first of all, when she says she's from the hood, I'm from the hood, so I can say nigga. Okay, she's real Becky-ish. So the hood for her, for white girls like that, the hood is a place that has like 5% black people. So when they say I'm from the hood and all that, no. When white girls like that say they're from the hood, that means they're somewhere that has one Jamba Juice. That's the hood. Let's be very clear about when they talk about they're from the fucking hood. Let's be very clear. The hood means that the one Walmart in town only has self-checkout. That's the hood. Okay? That, don't fall for that. I'm from the hood. No. The hood for her means that the Panera Bread don't have organic meat. That's the hood. You understand? Like, you don't have any gluten-free toasted bread? Oh, my God, I'm in the ghetto. It's that. There's no gluten-free bread, so she's in the hood. All right? So that's what she means by the hood. That's the hood for them. Oh my God, I'm in a gang. There's no Jersey Sub sandwiches around here. Oh my God. Oh my God, there's no drive-thru at the Starbucks. Oh my God. I'm living in the projects. That's the hood to them, okay? The Starbucks has no drive-thru. So she don't live in no fucking hood, okay? She don't live in the damn hood. That's some goofy niggas then brought her around. She's talking that stupid shit. Niggas get turned on when there's a ratchet white woman. Some certain dusty niggas, you say you don't like no ratchet sisters. Oh, I don't like these black bitches, it's ghetto. And you go get that. A raggedy, mayonnaise encrusted white girl talking the same dumb shit that you said you don't like. And y'all bring her around, and she's acting more ratchet than anybody, and y'all niggas think, oh, I got me a down-ass white bitch, nigga. I got me a down-ass white girl, nigga. I got me a ride-or-die snow bunny, nigga. Nigga, she's riding and dying because she know ain't shit gonna happen to her. Yeah, the white girls who come around the hood, around you goofy niggas, yeah, they're down to rob banks, hit licks. They down to do all that because, nigga, you are their get out of jail free card, fool. Dumbass nigga. She does all that stupid shit, and I've seen it on the streets all the time. Them white girls are down to do whatever. And the reason why, because they're not going to go to jail when they get caught. And your dumb black ass is the get out of jail free card. Because the minute she gets in that interrogation room, all that weird ass bitch give a fuck about a nigga, all that's going to go right out the window. All of a sudden, oh my God, they made me do it. All of a sudden, she's going to get affluenza and say, y'all made her do it, and then the whole block is going to go to jail, and her ass is going to go right back to the fucking suburbs. Stupid-ass Negroes bringing that trash around the block. I hate it when niggas would bring them bras around the block. The minute I be somewhere, niggas show up with one of them, I'm like, yep, I'm out. Yeah, that Patty Hearst shit. Don't bring them on the block, nigga. And you wonder why the trap done got hit and everything then got raided. You don't bring them around. Nigga, those are inherent snitches. They are going to tell. They're going to tell on everything. You don't ever bring them around the block. They're going to blow the spot up every time. They ain't about to go to jail for you stupid niggas. When their whiteness is their get out of jail free card and you think they ain't going to use it? Nigga. Y'all better learn basic street politics. And let me tell my young dudes out there, when y'all see those white girls talking that hood shit, run, nigga. Run. Get away. Get away. Get away. Young brothers, get away. I know she's going to be throwing all types of that pussy at you. I know. Get your ass away, because after she do it, they'll be like, oh my God, I didn't know what I was doing. All of a sudden, they're going to say they were drunk or they had to sober up or they were on drugs. And then they're going to flip on your ass. So my young cats need to understand this. I saw a video about a month or so ago. Was some white girl somewhere in a room full of brothers. It was like some teenagers. She's like some young kids. And I would say about, they were like 17, 18, and the white girl looked like she's about 18 or 19. And she was drunk, talking, yeah, I want to suck some dicks. And I wish I could find those little niggas and be like, if y'all little niggas don't get that bitch up out of that fucking house, or y'all niggas leave, man, I'm like, get the, man, we got to school our little young niggas, man, so they don't fall for those type of traps. I don't know what happened to them or whatever, but it just looked like the beginning of a bad situation. Cats need to understand racial politics out here. And certain things you need to avoid. You understand? And what else is happening out here? Something else that's happening out here. Did y'all see on Twitter Meek Mill and Nicki Minaj? Meek Mill and Nicki Minaj was going at it. I don't know what popped it off. They started insulting each other. I don't know how this got started. I don't know what happened. It was something about, they were going talking about Nicki's new dude. Then Nicki started kind of making some accusations that Meek probably hit her or something, which it sounds kind of weird. Then Meek started going in on her molester ass brother. I'm like, oh, what they going in? But let me say this. Some of the barbs were mad at me because I made a tweet the other day about this new song that Nicki has coming out. And she mentioned Rosa Parks, and just the context of it, it wasn't cool. It wasn't a blatant, she didn't diss Rosa Parks, but just the way she used Rosa Parks' name, it was, here's a clip. Listen, hold on. Okay, so in this little line, she said, all you bitches, Rosa Parks, get your ass up. So a lot of people took offense to that, and so did I. A lot of people took offense to that, and so did I. I took offense to that. I took offense to it, and everybody else took offense to it, because this is not the first time Nicki Minaj has said some little bullshit or made some kind of somewhat negative connotation about one of our foundational Black American icons. When she did that mixtape or that song called Looking Ass Nigga with a picture of Malcolm X looking out of a window, that was very disrespectful. That line about Rosa Parks, it was disrespectful. And I pointed out that it was disrespectful because Nicki is not a foundational Black American. She was born in Trinidad. So the reason why she thinks she can spew a disrespectful lyric about one of our icons is because she don't share our lineage. So she doesn't see herself in our icons. So she thinks she can get away with that and nobody's going to say nothing because she has the quote unquote, the barbs. Her goofy fucking fans, because just corresponding with them, there's some idiotic, sexually confused ass Negroes from what I've seen. Her barbs. Many of them are ass kissing bedwenches, white zaddy lovers. But when you call yourself Barb, remember, you're calling yourself Barb after the damn white Barbie doll. A Barbie doll is a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed doll. So the fact that you're calling yourself Barbs after a white doll, you know, there's some psychological things with that, by the way. But Nikki's done little stuff like she's worn necklaces with chicken wings on them and, you know, just kind of goofball shit. But this thing where you're going to diss foundational Black American icons, no, you're going to get called out on that type of shit. Now, you're going to get called out on that. Because, see, they don't do that, and I've said this before, they don't do that to their Caribbean icons. When it comes to icons in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, in Haiti, you don't have rappers with those backgrounds. They don't mention those icons in a negative way. They revere them. They hold them up to the highest standard of respect. And if you're not going to do that to your icons, we're not going to sit here and let you do it to ours. Nikki don't rap anything negative about any Trinidadian icons. And some people say, what Trinidadian icons? I mean, well, shit, you can probably find them if you look, if you're part of that culture. But I don't never see them make negative rhymes about people from the culture that they represent. You're not going to do that, and we not say nothing. And you think you're going to hide behind your little Bussy Lives Matter Barbs. No, they're not really scary like that. There's niggas trolling and whining and posting up memes online. That don't mean shit. We're not going to play that game. Making a disrespectful lyric like that about Rosa Parks. And let's be very clear. Rosa Parks, she didn't really like anybody rapping about her like that. Remember, Rosa Parks kind of got into it with Outkast. They did a song. They did a song called Rosa Parks, and it wasn't really disrespectful. It had a lot of metaphors in there, but it wasn't a disrespectful type of thing. And Rosa was like, "Nah, just don't put my name in the shit at all." Rosa was like, "Nah, I'm good. Y'all don't put my name in that at all." So we had to respect Queen Mother Rose's wishes. We had to respect that. We got to respect that. But the thing is, if you listen to the lyric of what she says, if you break it down, it was extremely disrespectful, because when she says, "Bitches, Rosa Parks, get your ass up. All you bitches of Rosa Parks, get your ass up." Now, if you think about what happened, Rosa Parks didn't get up. Rosa Parks did not get up. So in Nikki's rhyme, she's taking the position of the white supremacist who was talking to Rosa Parks. Remember, it was the white supremacist who told Rosa Parks to get your ass up. So Nikki is rapping from the position of the white supremacist. See, that's some deep shit right there. That's where it gets really disrespectful. You're rapping from the position of the white supremacist. Get your ass up, Rosa Parks. James Blake, that's his name. You're rapping from the position of James Blake? You bitches of Rosa Parks, get your ass up? If you don't get the fuck out of here with that bullshit, and I don't want to, this is a Black woman you're talking about. As a matter of fact, this is a Black woman whose actions helped get your fucking immigrant family over here. You understand? No. You can't do that to our icons. See, we got to stand up for our icons, family. We have to stand up for our icons the way Rosa stood up for us. That sister stood up for us. We got to stand up for people who put their lives on the line for us. That sister could have gotten killed that damn day. Rosa was thinking about us. I'm not about to let no fucking Nicki Minaj sit up and say some shit like that and then we ain't gonna say nothing. Come on, I ain't gonna do that. And I like some of Nicki's stuff, but I'm gonna say something and fuck all the damn Barbs if they got a problem with it. Yeah, I said, she can't say shit like that without niggas checking her on that. That wasn't cool at all. If you want to disrespect somebody, disrespect some damn Trinidadians. Rosa Parks was a rider. That sister had to survive white men trying to rape her. Rosa Parks was a real deal rider. We got to ride for our icons, man. I don't really like playing that game when it comes to our icons, man. We got to take pride in our foundational Black American icons, because I'm telling you, you can't go over there to the Caribbean and start disrespecting anybody at all. You can't disrespect the people there. You can't disrespect their customs. You cannot disrespect their icons. You just can't do it. They check you immediately, but we've gotten this kumbaya mentality where everybody can come over and just, we sit up and let them do whatever. We ain't gonna do that no more. We gotta stop that bullshit. We gotta stop that. That has to stop. And a lot of these rappers, a lot of them come from these immigrant backgrounds. So they get out here and start saying all types of vile shit if we let them. They start saying all types of vile, slick stuff. You understand? So we got to start checking these people on that. Yeah, you go to Jamaica and say something about Haile Selassie. You go down to Miami. Hell, you don't even have to go to Haiti, but you go down to Miami, certain Haitian neighborhoods, and say something slick about Dessalines or Toussaint Louverture. People will check you on that. They will check you on that. Somebody said, when Lil Wayne said, beat the pussy up like Emmett Till, and Lil Wayne got checked on that. Remember, when Lil Wayne went through a little coon phase. Remember that? Lil Wayne was saying a lot of little coon shit. Lil Wayne went through a little coon phase, and he was getting checked. Even T.I. checked Lil Wayne. T.I. checked him. We were all checking Lil Wayne and publicly calling him out on that little coon phase he was going on. And it was probably some of the narcotics and the lean and whoever knows what else. But yeah, he got out of that little coon phase he was trying to go through. You dig? Yeah, after he got checked, he sobered up and said, okay, yeah, my bad on that one. Yeah, my bad on that one. Somebody said his ghostwriters were tripping. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know who's writing this stuff or who's not writing. I don't know. But it's clearly some of the narcotic that was talking. You dig? But again, it's up to us to protect our icons. It's up to us to stand up and speak up for our icons. You can't disrespect other people's culture. They do not let you. They will check you very quickly. We're going to have to do the same for our foundational Black American icons. We're going to have to keep the foot on the neck of the mammies, the plantation aunties like Gail and Okra. Keep calling them out for what they are. When you call them out for what they are, that further neutralizes their power. And we just got to stay codified with it, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. You guys, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get the Hidden Colors package, $49.99 for this month. Ladies and gentlemen, get that sale. For the month of February, Black History Month, everybody should have the DVDs in their collection. You got to have that, and it's a great gift to give to other family members. So even if you have the DVD, you can still give it to other people. You can give the package to other people because it's such a low rate. Get it and give it to some friends. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. And also, the Foundational Black American Conference coming this June 20th in Atlanta at the Georgia World Congress Center. Get your tickets, FBAC2020.com. I'm going to holla. Y'all be good. I holla at you Sunday.